Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget all the cool things you can do there. If you're a small business owner or want to be, I think you'll find some things there that will benefit you, that you'll like, that will help you to have the maximum opportunity to be successful. And one of those people who have deposited lots of important information in that you can listen to over and over again at your little heart's content in our archives and also reading the articles that he's given us is our good friend Bill Hubbard, William S. Hubbard, the author of The New Battle Over Workplace Privacy, which is a book you shouldn't have in your office. You shouldn't just have it in your office. You should have it on your desk. And you should be using this one all the time. And The Medical Privacy Rule. He's our good friend Bill Hubbard. Welcome back to the show.
Good morning. Always glad to be here, Jim.
It's good to have you back, Bill, as always. And, you know, Bill, not only is it a good idea to have an emergency response plan, that's just common sense, right?
Yeah.
But if I understand what you've said correctly, we actually have a requirement. The government actually requires us to do this?
Well, in many instances, that's true. If your organization is subject to OSHA, and most of them are, to one degree
who
or another.
Who isn't subject to OSHA?
That's about it.
One small business in Bangladesh or something? I mean, if you're in the United States, who isn't subject to OSHA?
Unless you're a one-person operation working out of your house, which there's a fair percentage of people that are doing that.
Right.
Then there's not likely to be the OSHA issue, but primarily... And even if you're doing that, if you're a crafter and you're working with chemicals, you have a potential of some issues
right.
that cross into that OSHA area.
Yeah.
But one of the issues that is in that OSHA regulation, that's the Occupational Safety and Health Act regulation, is to have an emergency response plan and a fire prevention plan. And so as much as we decry all the rules and regulations of OSHA and other government agencies, as I do my work, my consulting kind of work, I draw from and I help firms to implement policies and procedures to comply with those. And I find that, a lot of this stuff makes sense. It's just a matter of taking the time to sit down and do it and scope it out so that you have a good preventative plan in place. And then you can go about and do your business. And then if one of these emergency crises pops up, you've got a plan to follow to help you get through the emergency and to help you recover much quicker.
You know, Bill, I'm just sitting here thinking, and I know this, I just can't help but say this. If you and I had done this topic the last time you were on the show last month, I could imagine Governor Blanco and Mayor Nagin in New Orleans, if they were listening, they'd say, "Huh, I wonder if we should have one of those." Don't you get the feeling that they would almost say that?
I get some kind of a sense of that nature. Cause
holy mackerel.
With this crisis event, I did not see the direction of the leadership.
There wasn't. Bill. How can you can't have direction if there isn't any?
Well,
there was no leadership.
Yeah.
There was
exactly.
Zero leadership. All I heard was a lot of whining. And then you had the little deal between the federal government and the state and local folks where they've got to have the handshake, they've got to have the proper handshake to make it all happen. I'm not giving the federal government a pass here, but they do have to have a little bit of a handshake. We are 50 United States,
right?
Under one federal government, but still each state has its own sovereignty to take care of its own people.
I would agree, and when I looked at the events happening last week, and I looked at the events that happened 4 years ago, and I'm thinking, gee whiz, 4 years ago we had a mayor in front of the media directing and reporting what was going on.
Right.
And his staff standing right behind him saying, and you could see there was tremendous loss and tremendous emotion there, but there was a presence saying, this is what we're doing, this is what's happening. And last week, like you said, all I heard was crying and whining.
He was the whiner in chief down there. Nagin was, but here's the thing, and folks, if you think I'm not the king of Segway, Bill, we have to be the we're sovereign in our businesses too.
Yes.
The owners, and so we can't be like those guys. We need to have some kind of a response plan, and of course it's more important if you live in an area where you're likely to have one of these natural disasters in any given year. But a fire could happen to anybody.
Any area has potential problems. You know, in the last year, we've seen fires in California. We've seen floods in different parts of the country. We've seen earthquake issues. We've seen workplace violence circumstances occur.
Yeah.
So every area has some kind of potential critical situation that can occur to disrupt the business activity. And unless you have some plan in place and some of these issues previously thought out, it's like you're just scrambling to run out the door, and which certainly is one of the responsive actions. But when you're running out the door, if you know which files to bring, how much computer system to turn on, which computer systems to turn off, what backup disks to take where,
right,
then you can be up and running much quicker in the next day or the next week or whatever.
So it's not just about safety, although that's first. Safety first, always.
Yes.
But it's also about work continuity of the business. If the building's burning down, you know, you take your purse. That's what I always get first. I get my purse, and then get the, you know, and then maybe there's a file that's handy. We've already got that ready. We know where it is, and on the way out, we pick it up.
These things really should focus on people, data, and things.
Say that again.
And of course, the first issue is people. We've got to save our people.
Right.
Then the second issue is, how do we protect our data? What resources or plans do we have for backup and alternate arrangements? And then the third issue is, well, then how do we protect our things to minimize the physical loss? And with a plan in place, you look at each one of these issues and you identify some of these contingencies. And you come up with these, setting the wheels in motion in the event that these issues should occur, so that you have backup, you have alternate arrangements, you have ways to contact, ways to restart activities
without
a loss.
These things should be written down, shouldn't they?
They really should. If the plan is written, if it's defined, if it's assigned, it's much more likely to occur.
And it's sort of like you have at home with your kids, you know, which tree are we going to meet under in the case of a fire? You know, you need one of those things too. Stand by, Bill. We're going to take a quick break. Bill Hubbard is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He's the author of The Medical Privacy Rule and The New Battle Over Workplace Privacy. It's 20 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We'll be right back.
It'll take time, I know it.
Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and that's Mr. Mark Knopfler on guitar. Bill Dunkelberg, that's Bill on drums back there. He's a pretty good drummer. Bill's our good friend and a longtime member of our Brain Trust, actually an original member of our Brain Trust. Bill, give us your website, please.
www.hubbart.com, and that's H-U-B-B-A-R-T-T. And there we have links to actually another website that deals with medical privacy issues, which is medicalprivacy.info.
There actually is a medical privacy mandate for this kind of for emergency response, isn't there?
There is, and actually it's under the third final phase of that, which is referred to as HIPAA security.
Right.
And the HIPAA security rule does require an emergency contingency plans and data backup plans and procedures to protect, under the regulation, electronic protected health information.
Mm-hmm.
But I sit over here on the sideline and I say, why can't that just as well be your accounting records and your bookkeeping and your client data and your inventory data? You can take the same steps to protect that information as what the government's telling the doctors and the insurance companies to do to protect the health information.
So if you want to find out more about that, folks, and you'd like to read about this and make sure that you're in compliance, Bill, give us that website again, please.
That one is medicalprivacy.info, And, of course, both my sites link back to each other in terms of some of the consulting resources that are available. And then on the medical privacy, I have books and CDs that offer guidelines on that regulation, have sample policies, sample procedures, a sample emergency control plan. And, in fact, what I wanted to tell listeners today was that if anybody wants to inquire to the program or to my website, we'll send out a sample outline or checklist for developing your emergency response
plan. I appreciate you making that available. And folks, I encourage you to take advantage of that. And also to, if you'd like to have Bill help you with any of your programs, any of your HR programs, I know he'll be glad to work with you on that. And he does that with people all over the country virtually. That's the beauty of the marketplace today. So much of this can be done virtually. You don't have to have the person right under your nose. So check that out when you get a chance. That's Hubbert2B2T's.com and medicalprivacy.info.
Yes.
Okay. Now let's get back to our emergency response plans, which a plan needs to be more than just what we think we're going to do. It actually needs to be written down, doesn't it?
It needs to be written down. So, and it should have some input from whoever handles your information systems, your computer systems, whoever handles your human resources kinds of issues, whoever handles your inventory. In other words, different parts of your organization, you need to kind of consider, well, if there was a threat to these, what are the kinds the threats that can happen, and then what are we going to do about them? And try to think about what that is, and you can get resources and help from within your community, your local police department, your local fire department, your local emergency response agencies would be happy to have employers in the area inquiring, saying, we want to set up a plan. Can you give us some advice or some direction? And one of the things you're likely to find is they'll have some literature that will help deal with those issues, and very likely they'll have somebody who would be happy to review what you have or come out, tour your facility, and make some recommendations. So there's a variety of things that can be done.
Right. Bill, let me ask you, what about for our customers? Let's say we got a restaurant or a retail operation or something like that, that's where we're likely to have customers, you know, all around our property, a lumber yard or whatever it might be. What about a car dealership? Anything like that where customers are wandering around on our property? Should we have something for them? And well, I don't mean, obviously, we don't hand them an emergency response plan and say, here, read this. But, I mean, should there be placards, signage, that kind of thing?
I would say there should be some placards or signage if there's areas where you don't want them to go. So that if you have, for example, a secure storage area, then this is for employees only. So those kinds of areas certainly should be posted. If there's any kind of particular dangers, a lot of retail places that I've been into, like restaurants, oftentimes you'll see something, a little teepee on the floor, that if there's a wet floor, you know, you can make sure that you're taking care of those kinds of safety and security areas.
Well, should we train our employees to say, okay, if there's a fire, you know, you mentioned a while ago people data and our stuff, but should there be a C in there somewhere for customers? Well, we say, okay, you know, let's make sure you get yourself out, but let's don't leave any customers behind.
Well, we want to make sure that we've covered that. So as you're writing your plan, then identify if there's customers on the site, who is accountable for leading those people out and where they should be directed to and where they should be instructed to go. So that, yeah, that's an important part of it, because if you've got people on your premises, you need to account for how are we going to respond to help them as well.
You know, Bill, every year some business gets hit by a tornado and customers get hurt or killed. And you know, if somebody says, well, why should I really care about all that? I mean, obviously they care about keeping people safe, but you know, I can see a lawsuit one of these days where somebody was hurt, an employee or a customer, and you're on the stand and the attorney says, show us your emergency response plan.
That's very literally. That's going to be some of the issues. And having these kind of documents in place, certainly as you're dealing with your insurance issues, and your insurance agent or your insurance company is another resource of information for this type of thing. So once you have a plan in place, be sure to show that to them so that when you're bidding for next year's insurance coverage.
Right.
Hey, we've got things covered.
Might even be a discount in it for you.
That's right.
Hey, Bill, thanks for being here. Give us the website one more time.
www.hubbards.com.
Two B's, two T's. Thanks, Bill. See you next time.
Always glad to be here.
Quick break. Right back with our new friend, Don Taylor, after these messages. This show is brought to you by IBM, Office Depot, and Administaff.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.